The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
I saw a pale horse,
the beast,
foretold in the book of Revelation.
This is not a human child.
Isn't an angel?
Satan! Armageddon is almost upon us.
Order the use of nuclear weapons.
The world is a fine place and worth fighting for.
From one end of the world to the other, I will oppose you.
Welcome to the end of the world.
Wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. This is PID Radio.
Greetings from the heartland of America. I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. And can you spell the country currently protesting against Muammar Gaddafi?
I believe that would be L-I-B-Y-A.
Honey, ding, ding, ding. I'm so proud of you.
Am I smarter than a presidential grader?
Are you smarter than a White House intern?
A White House intern is more accurate, yes.
I seriously doubt that if Obama is indeed sitting in front of a computer
posting on his Twitter, we have bigger problems as a nation.
Really,
yes.
Really do.
Well, greetings to PID Radio. This is February 24th of 2011, and we're, of course, talking about the now famous tweet from someone inside the White House today announcing that President Obama was going to speak about Libya, L-Y-B-I-A. Now, why the president would want to touch on the topic of boxer crabs, we don't know. That is the genus of crab that includes the boxer crab.
With little anemones on their claws.
Yeah, it's a little...
flowers.
It's a little, you know...
sea anemones.
Sea anemones, right, yeah.
Oh.
Yes. They help to sting, you know, they really sting when they...
Mr. Krabs.
Yeah. So somebody, yeah. This is the kind of thing that had George W. Bush, if this had happened during the Bush administration or, you know, looking back even further, if perhaps Dan... Quayle had written Libya on a big blackboard someplace, you know, the way he misspelled potato. We'd never hear the end of it, but of course the press is just going to kind of gloss over this. Oh, well, we knew what he meant to him. But Libya is in, it's an open rebellion right now. There's a civil war essentially taking place in Libya.
People are fleeing that country. They're fleeing, I say. Egyptians who had settled in Libya have now returned to Egypt.
Right, yeah. And many of them were there to work on oil projects and so forth. I mean,
and Tunisia is seeing an influx of Libyans.
Mm-hmm. So
Tunisia appears to be a safer place to live.
And Egypt, too, yeah, than Libya at the moment. It really is bizarre that the entire Middle East seems to be in an uproar at the moment. We had mentioned the other day, and I didn't – oh, and by the way, the internet is back. You probably be happy to report that the local cable company figured out, there was a problem at the poll.
Anyway. We told them, meet us at the poll. We'll all be there, and we'll all pray for the internet.
Yeah. But we'd mentioned the other day that those Iranian ships had gone through the Suez Canal. It hadn't dawned on me. I should have been more aware of history that was the first Iranian warship to sail into the Mediterranean Sea since 1979.
Yes.
That's a big deal.
That's a huge deal. I bet President Carter remembers it.
Yeah, I bet he does. So there's that. We've got Gaddafi firing on his own people. What's really interesting is that because he led, he ascended to power in Libya as part of a military coup, since he managed to use the military to take office forcibly, he's made sure in the 30 years since that the military has been divided and weak, so they couldn't do the same thing.
His sons are divided and weak, they don't use the military to take over and get rid of him.
It's the old biblical maxim: a house divided cannot stand.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what's happened in Libya, and what has resulted is essentially utter chaos. Historically, this always happens. The Celts, the ancient Celts, had this problem.
You mean the guys that painted themselves blue?
Well, the really tall guys who wore the green and white uniforms.
The Blue Kills group?
Really good. Larry Bird, man. Those guys. The Celts had a a similar line of succession to apparently the Gaddafi family, in which the son or nephew who was the most brutal would hack his way to power through all of his relatives. So, you know, if you were king of North Wales or something back in the 6th century and you had six sons, well, the weakest of the six was the first to go. It basically,
it's the lion in winter.
Yes, the lion in winter. Peter O'Toole, Anthony Hopkins, Nigel Terry.
He set it up so his boys, as did the mother, as did the Catherine.
Yeah.
They set it up so the boys essentially had to fight each other.
Right. And it's been this way throughout history. So what's happening in Libya is just, you know, the same kind of thing that used to happen in 6th century Britain, except with more guns. Well, you know, except with guns, let me put it that way. Mm-hmm. So it really is turning into an ugly situation there. So pray for the people of Libya, because as always happens, when the elephants fight, the ants get trampled. So, and meanwhile, the cost of the price of oil.
I'm an ant. I've got some nieces and nephews.
Mm-hmm. And I have no response to that. Just, I'm not multitasking well this afternoon.
I know. But. You're really tired, and that is why that is why one of our announcements later on you may not be pleased with. But, well, you know the announcement. You and I have talked about it.
Yes,
but those listening may think, oh, those PID people, what's with them? Or you may say,
huzzah! More bandwidth for everyone else. That's right.
They're soaking up all the bandwidth.
So anyway, that's what's going on inside inside Libya now. As near as we can tell, who knows, the information that's getting out of there is I would imagine, sketchy and filtered.
I don't know. Our internet was down most of yesterday. You know, for all I know, there was a protest going on in this house.
Mm-hmm.
Sam,
a protest, you're walking around.
Sam rules around here, and I changed his food. Look, I changed his food,
that's just
and he cut off the internet.
That's just one thing too many.
Yeah.
There does seem to be a real angry spirit out there right now, though. I mean, and you catch that when you watch the talking heads.
Yes.
The cable news networks, because they're always looking for stuff that plays well on TV.
Mm-hmm.
And people who are angry and shouting and throwing things and explosions mm-hmm. and fire, that always makes great
video.
But,
you know, it's more than we see on there. I mean, it's all over the internet. People are iReports and YouTube videos and you know, phone uploads to the local Fox affiliate or whatever. They're all over the place, and it's generally – now I know. People are trying to upload things that they think will get lots of play and go viral, and so it's either going mm-hmm. to be really, really strange, or it's going to be really, really angry.
Yeah.
And I showed you a YouTube video today that was really, really angry.
And the point is that this angry spirit is not just in the Middle East. Here in the United States now, we've got several locations where protests have been continuing for quite some time. Madison, Wisconsin. Here in Indiana, we've got state legislators that have fled the state to avoid voting on budget cuts.
It, just so you know, we're not going to Illinois to avoid voting on anything.
Huh? That's right.
We're not. In fact, we're moving to Illinois knowing full well that we'll get to vote over and over again long after we're dead. Huh? Huh?
That is one of the benefits of being from Chicago.
It is indeed.
In fact,
Illinois,
I've probably been voting in Chicago since 1980.
Well, yes.
And I haven't lived there since 1977.
And what's odd is you keep voting
then.
Democrat.
I know. I can't figure that out. Well, anyway. But what happened was the video that was posted, which we won't link to.
No, because honestly, the language is
crude.
Really crude.
Yeah,
and
offensive.
It's offensive. And in this day and age of, you know, when the shooting happened in Arizona and there was all of this language all mm-hmm. over the nightly news that we need to be kinder and gentler and not throw vitriol, if you're unaware of what that word is, it's just acid.
Yeah.
Not throw mean words about hateful words
mm-hmm.
like, you know, kill somebody in the polls.
Yeah, or we can't target certain districts.
You can't say that. But you can, if you are apparently a Democrat who's avoiding voting, you can say we're going to get bloody in the streets.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're this person
mm-hmm.
in Rhode Island who is apparently pro-union,
mm-hmm. you can make some very nasty physical threats of
they were enough to get him arrested, I thought.
Yeah.
I was surprised that the policemen were just standing there looking around.
Yeah, it's the kind of thing that might have been considered a hate crime if there'd been some actual violence that followed the words. But the language, the tone was very angry, and apparently was directed by a pro-union supporter at a cameraman.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure what preceded the exchange, if maybe, but, and I'm not going to speculate, but
You don't know.
It was pretty angry. But the point is, there seems to be a really angry spirit that is not mm-hmm. just overseas, where people are, you know, a third of the nation of Libya lives below, you know, the poverty line, the mm-hmm. global poverty line. Here in the United States, the U.S. government defines a poverty line that most of the rest of the world's impoverished only dream of attaining someday. Mm-hmm. But in Libya, in Egypt, Tunisia, places where people began to riot because the price of bread had been raised, those people are really on the edge, living on the edge.
Exactly. They're not angry because they're, you know,
healthcare benefits are being cut.
Exactly. Yes.
Healthcare benefits. We'd love to have some healthcare benefits.
We'd love to have some health.
Yes. So, but here in the United States, that's what's happening. We're finding unions in at least in the stories that are being presented, and there are two sides to every story, we understand. In Wisconsin, in Ohio, here in Indiana, in Rhode Island, there are state and local governments that are saying we need to cut or we're going to have to fire a bunch of people.
Mm-hmm.
And the unions apparently are resisting the cuts and thinking that this is a game of chicken and that the state government will back down or the local government. I've been kind of tracking this. There's a really good website that does an excellent job of following this. I've tried to get the gentleman on for an interview on View from the Bunker, but he's just said, you know, I'm too busy. He has been interviewed a few times on Future Quake. Dr. Future gets all the great guests. Mike Shedlock does a blog called globaleconomicanalysis.blogspot.com, and he's been tracking this for a couple of years now, saying there is a looming retirement benefit crisis. Many states in the United States, especially the states that are most pro-union, have written contracts or voted contracts in for police and firefighters and teachers and other state and local government workers that give them just crazy retirement benefits at a very early age. Now, I don't begrudge paying teachers and firemen and policemen a good wage because what they do is really important,
mm-hmm.
but I mean, you know, private sector workers don't get to retire at the age of, 55 with full pay for the rest of their lives. See,
I don't know how many teachers get to do that.
No. Yeah. And of course, I'm speaking in very broad generalities here.
Mm-hmm.
And the point is that the government's the various states and some of the ones in the biggest trouble are California and Illinois.
Mm-hmm. They have to cut somewhere.
Right. They have to cut somewhere, or they have to do what Illinois did, which is like double the state income tax. Thank you very much. Just in time for us to move there. But there is no two way about it. Either cut or you raise taxes because you cannot spend money that you don't have indefinitely. Unlike the federal government, the state of Illinois, the state of California, the state of Wisconsin do not have the power to print their own currency.
Yet.
Huh? Now, they can sell some bonds if they want to raise some money from investors, but that's going to have to be
repaid. I think we should try to sell them on the idea. I really do. Gilbert Box.
Yeah.
Sam's picture right there in the middle.
Mm-hmm. And they can earn the Gilbert bucks. So they come over and, you know, vacuum the stairs.
Exactly.
There you go. There's five Gilbert bucks.
Exactly.
It only looks like a Monopoly dollar. It's Sam's picture on it. It is redeemable someday. So that's what's going on with the negotiations and the protests that are taking place, as evidenced by that video from Providence, Rhode Island. It's just or was it Pawtucket? Anyway, from Rhode Island, it was just very, very angry. And like I said, it feels, and this is why we're mentioning this, that there's a spirit out there that's really enjoying what's going on here. In Providence, Rhode Island, to give you an idea how bad the situation is, the school board there has essentially issued a notice to all 2,000 teachers in the school district that they could be terminated. They're not actually all going to be fired, but because the contract requires they get so much notice before termination, the school board there has essentially had to give all 2,000 notice, or at least this is their story. Mm-hmm. They're giving notice to all 2,000 so that they then have the flexibility to go through the personnel list and say, okay, we need to get rid of this many.
You know, it's really easy for you and I to sit here and say it should be this way and that way, you know, with this, the various state governments. But there are so many complicated issues when it comes to a state budget, and one of those is earmarks. That's something the state of California has run into over and over again. Whenever money is allocated, when they have money, they run up against a wall. We can't spend this money because it's in this account that is earmarked for, you know, spraying for the, you know, brown tweeted, you know, fluffer. I don't know. or for taking care of the people who specialize in this sort of, you know, raising this kind of special tree or something. There are a lot of earmarks in the state of California, and I suspect that there are many, many similar earmarks from state to state. And while you may have a budget that looks like it's in a terrific crisis, honestly, if I were running for governor of the state of Indiana, one of the first things I'd say is, earmarks, gone.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We start with all the money in one pile.
Yeah.
And then we start divvying it up.
Mm-hmm.
If you've been getting something out of an earmark, forget it.
Yep.
Move to another state.
Yeah. Illinois, we hear, is looking for
I would last one day.
That's exactly it. Well, and that's what, you know, every now and then we'll see somebody, you know, joke and say, Gilbert's for president or something. No.
Oh, no.
Not interested.
However, Sam has been toying with throwing his little fedora into the ring.
Well, why not?
I say Sam for president.
We've discovered the last couple of years that the eligibility requirements are a lot looser than they were.
We don't even think he was born in the United States, but we're not sure it really matters.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what else is going on out there? It has just been a world in turmoil.
Well, I have to say, let's go back to Obama and the hashtag Libya.
Yeah, because not only did they post a tweet, but they gave it a hashtag.
They gave it a hashtag, but we have to go back to this, too. It's an article by Keith Koffler today that I think is brilliant. He is taking a look at the roster for President Obama's Motown bash.
Oh.
On the roster, Nick Jonas of the Jonas Brothers.
Uh-huh.
Was he ever on the Motown label? No.
Does he owe
his sound to the Motown sound? No.
You don't think of Motown when you think
However,
of the Jonas Brothers. Yeah.
He is a big Obama supporter.
Oh.
And has been all along.
I see.
Let's see who else is on here. Sheryl Crow.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Was she ever on the Motown label?
No.
Does she owe her bluesy sound to the Motown sound?
Yeah.
No. However, long-time Obama supporter. In fact, she is on the Yes We Can CD.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, who else? John Legend.
Okay, all right. Yeah, not exactly Motown, but
no,
at least a little.
Natasha Bedingfield, who is a white British chart topper, who apparently has no connection in any way, shape, or form. She's not even from the same country as Motown.
That's okay.
However, neither
is President Obama. Sorry. I couldn't resist.
Oh. British singer Seal. Now,
okay. He
is not a citizen of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
I had to think for a second, is he? I don't know. He's married to Heidi Klum. A Project Runway.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I don't know if he is or not, because I think she lives here now. But he sort of has a soulful sound.
Yeah, he does.
He may owe his sound sort of to Motown singers, but he was never on the Motown label. Now, there are probably other guests on there who were with Motown. You would think at the very least that in this article somewhere I would see him say, oh, yeah, by the way, you know, the following Motown artists – are on the roster. I don't know. Mm. But I just found that really odd.
Yeah, so apparently
Nick Jonas, getting
Sheryl on
Crow.
The Motown tribute just means you just had to be, you know, pro-Obama.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, you know.
I didn't see any opera singers in there either, but they also don't have anything about, you know, to do with Motown.
Yeah.
I didn't have anything to do with Motown, and I wasn't invited. I feel like I've just been, you know.
Slighted.
Yeah.
Or blighted.
Hashtag dissed. D-Y-S-S.
Well,
okay, I'll let that one go.
Turning back to the Middle East here for just a bit, there's some other interesting developments as we look across the pond.
Four nuclear sites in Syria.
You know what's interesting? I was just looking at that very story. That was
I sensed that.
Yeah. This was a story that really didn't get a lot of play in the major media. And Israel, I don't know, ever officially admitted to this, but they did bomb a facility in Syria that intelligence experts believe was a nuclear facility built by North Korea back in 2007. And there are four other nuclear sites, or sites that are believed to be nuclear. This is according to ynetnews.com, which is an Israeli news source. And according to the sources close to the UN, the International Atomic Energy Agency has been denied inspection rights at these four sites. The facility and these sites at this facility are being used now for purposes unknown, but the U.S. Institute for Science and International Security, or ISIS, says that they believe that the actual purpose of this facility was disguised after Israel bombed the other nuclear site back in 2007. So there is that. So we've got.
Well, the nice thing is with Digital Globe and Google, you can take a look at what's going on. They've got the images here at this YNetNews.com story. And if you're thinking of buying there, you can look in advance and see whether or not you really like the way the lot is laid out and you think that the asking price is worth it, you know. Honey, you're just sitting there looking as serious as anything. I know you're really tired.
It took me a second, but just caught right over my head. Well, because while you were doing that, I was also looking at this story about this secret meeting between U.S. and Pakistani military chiefs in Oman.
Yes, yes. Do you think Raymond Davis was mentioned during that meeting?
Well,
wanna bet?
That's very possible. We talked about Davis the other day, the guy who supposedly CIA who is accused, well, apparently shot dead a couple of Pakistani citizens who may have been
ISI.
But this meeting in Oman took place Wednesday of this week. That's February 23rd, and a very pricey and secluded resort. And to give you an idea of the level of these discussions, the guys in the... Boy, Sam is making – he's really
just
going
growled
to town over there under his binky. The guys in the room representing the United States included the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Admiral Mike Mullen, General David Petraeus, commander of the International Security Assistance Force, Admiral Eric Olson, who's the commander of U.S. Special Operations Command, and Marine Corps General James Mattis, commander of U.S. Central Command. On the Pakistani side, General Ashfaq Parvez Kayani, who was the Chief of Army Staff, and Major General Javed Iqbal, Director General of Military Operations. So basically, the most senior military commanders in the United States and Pakistan got together yesterday on the sly in Oman. What were they discussing besides perhaps Raymond Davis?
Well, I think they probably were talking about Davis, but I think the meeting had to take place. They may be bypassing, honestly, diplomatic channels, so to speak, and really just being – I hope they were honest with each other in a meeting because the truth is if we're not careful, the United States is going to be sending our sons and daughters to Pakistan, boots on the ground.
Yeah,
because we're going to be at war with them. Yes.
Yeah, or perhaps at war with Pakistan.
Right now it's unmanned aerial vehicles that are taking over and supposedly shooting al-Qaeda in Waziristan, but it's not – we're not too far from it.
Yeah.
And this whole Raymond Davis thing, I'm telling you, it could be the match to the flame. I mean, sorry, the match to the
Tinder. Yes.
Match to the tinder.
Yeah.
Yes. The tender trap.
Yeah. So the relationship between the United States and Pakistan has really degenerated over the last couple of years, in large part because of the continued bombing, which has increased since President Obama took office.
Well, you and I used to say that when Musharraf was gone, watch out.
Yeah. I agree. He kind of kept a lid on things. The ISI, Pakistan's intelligence agency, is sympathetic at least toward al-Qaeda. And some of the WikiLeaks documents basically spelled that out, you know, and said, yeah, this is what – this was the assessment of American you know, diplomats who were close to the situation. Mm-hmm. It appears that the ISI, if not providing open assistance to al-Qaeda, or at least you know, providing tactical assistance to al-Qaeda, is at least hindering the United States' pursuit of al-Qaeda. And it is known that the ISA has stopped giving the CIA targeting information for those unmanned drones.
Well, and that is one of the theories behind Raymond Davis, is right. that was his job.
Mm-hmm. Well, that is a situation that bears watching. Meanwhile, and this is a story that I just stumbled on. Did I stumble on this, or did you actually post this to our Instapaper site?
No, I don't know. Which story is it?
Well, it's the top one at Instapaper. The Army, and this is a new article.
You found that.
Rolling
I did
Stone.
Not put that up there.
Yeah,
you did.
Published at Rolling
Sam
Stone
did.
By reporter Michael Hastings, whose profile of Stanley McChrystal, General Stanley McChrystal, is reported to have led to McChrystal's resignation. The United States Army apparently has been using a team of soldiers specializing in psychological operations to try to manipulate United States senators into allocating more funding for the military. True. When an officer tried to stop this practice, he was, according to reporter Michael Hastings, railroaded by military investigators. The article, and I'm just summarizing quickly from the first few paragraphs, the orders came from the command of Lieutenant General William Caldwell, 3-star general in charge of training Afghan troops. Over a 4-month period last year, a military cell devoted to what's known as information operations in Kabul was repeatedly pressured to target visiting senators and other VIPs who met with General Caldwell. When the unit resisted the orders, arguing that it violated U.S. law prohibiting the use of propaganda against American citizens, it was subjected to a campaign of retaliation. In other words, they were told, use PSYOPs against, say, Senator McCain when he comes to visit. And some of these guys decided that they didn't want to go along and play ball.
What is the law about not being able to use propaganda against U.S. citizens?
Well, I would have to look that one up.
I'm thinking there's a loophole in there big enough to drive a truck through.
Well, probably so. But, you know, kudos to Lieutenant Colonel Michael Holmes, who was the leader of this intelligence operations unit, for resisting the order to use. And I've not read enough of this article yet to see exactly what type of psychological operations they were using on these generals. Certainly, I would suggest they probably weren't doing anything any differently than what your typical...
Okay. They were using it on the generals?
I'm not
they
on
were
the generals.
Using,
on visiting, okay. American, visiting American politicians to try to persuade them to authorize more
money,
resources, money, whatever, to troops on the ground. I presume. I'll put a link in the show notes here at PIDradio.com so you can look at this. I brought this up only because this particular reporter... with his previous article, created somewhat of a stir. This article just published yesterday, don't know what kind of impact it's going to have yet when the talking heads, or whether the talking heads at Fox and CNN and MSNBC, who are undoubtedly engaging in their own psyops, will whether they take this story and run with it and what kind of spin they give it. So might watch for this story to see if you see on your local cable news, your cable news channels, this report of the Army using psyops on American political leaders.
By the way, there was a story that I wanted to mention really quickly, and that is the story about the Eagles. The band, although the Eagles also had nothing to do with Motown. Apparently, bald eagles have been dying like crazy. this comes from the Globe and Mail, and it's from Thursday's Globe and Mail, published Wednesday, oddly enough. How'd they do that? When David Hancock saw the bald eagle count on the Chehalis River drop from more than 7,000 to fewer than 400 over a few days in December. 6,600 fewer bald eagles from 7,000 to 400. It says that he knew a crisis was coming. A crisis coming? What an odd way to write this. Too late. If it dropped from 7,000 to 400 over the course of a few days, mm-hmm. It's too late.
Yeah, the Chehalis River is about 60 miles east of Vancouver, and generally, according to the article at the Globe and Mail, about 9,000 eagles will gather in November and December to feed on the salmon that are up there, you know, spawning, to feed on the salmon run. And apparently the salmon run this year has it's crashed. I mean,
well, according to a commercial fisherman, the salmon catch system is broken. Now, I'm not sure if that means that the salmon didn't decide to spawn this year or what, but if that's true, that's affecting many species, not just the eagles. It's also affecting bears because they do a lot of feeding and probably many other species.
Yeah. So apparently eagles are being and other birds in the area are being forced to go to dumps, trash dumps to try to scavenge something. But it is.
That's really sad.
It is a sad situation. So
now that's assuming that is really why they died. Now we'll talk more about that in another time.
Right.
We're almost out of time, and we need to talk
about.
Let's just talk, honey. How you doing?
Let's chat.
His coffee talk.
We are just kind of looking at the logistics of
trying to do everything we're trying to do and still stay sane.
Yeah, over the next 6 weeks or so,
sanity is becoming.
Yes, a precious commodity here in the bunker. As you know, we're relocating from Indiana to Illinois, and we're in the process now of coordinating the move long distance with a lender, a relocation company, sellers.
In addition to doing all of that, and in the last week or so, we've been negotiating various terms and talking to various people, and it's been one stressful day after another, you know, the lenders and is it going to work?
Home inspection.
Today it looks like it's not going to work. Tomorrow, it's just everything. But in addition to that, Derek, honey, you are also preparing to do a different type of job. Mm. And you have to, even though you're not technically driving to those locations yet, you have to make all those plans. If you're doing outside sales, you know what we're talking about. It's new to me. It's new to you, Derek.
Right, right.
You have to sit down and you have to figure out, here's my list of people. And you've got huge territory.
Yeah.
It's nearly the entire state of Illinois.
Well,
you have
southern half anyway, yeah.
Well, yeah, but it goes way up above 70 and it's going to probably go up as far as, you know, Interstate 72. So most of Illinois. Anyway, lots of driving is what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to sit down with that list and you have to figure out how you're going to make each day count for the most.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going to see these guys today. And so he's looking at that. He's also, you know, getting into a conversation with his current boss, who is also going to continue being his boss.
Yeah.
But his boss is moving into a different role as the head of the outside salesman for the region. So you're both kind of bumping to a new spot. And anyway, what I'm saying is there have been a lot of stressors on you. And there are stressors on me as well now because even though – we have, praise God, Sam says, shut up now.
Yeah. You've gone over 30
enough.
Minutes. Yeah.
Even though, praise God, we have a moving company provided by your wonderful company. I have to, if you've ever moved an entire household and we're downsizing, we're in a huge house now. We have been blessed to go from moving to Indiana in our two cars and having practically nothing to having a huge house full of things that we have, you know, little treasures that we've picked up at the Goodwill and at the flea market, that we've got a lot of stuff right now. And it's waiting through all the papers and because it's going to be packed by the moving company. You know, you want to make sure, okay, they're going to be looking at our personal papers and packing that. Think I'll do this with them, that kind of stuff. So we've got lots to do is what I'm saying over the next
4 to 6 weeks.
Over the next 3 to 4, 5, 6 weeks, however long, April 1st, you actually start making calls by yourself. But prior to that, you're actually going to, in March, you're going to be gone.
Yeah, there
off
will be.
And on.
Right, there'll be a week in March for sure. That'll be the week of the 14th. I'll be in Evansville for the whole week. So
please keep praying for us. And I know that many of you are dealing with your own types of stressors, and we pray for you guys all the time. You know, we don't always pray for you by name, but if you ever ask us to, trust me, we do. We pray for you by name. And it looks like the best thing for us to do is try to remove one, you know, extra hour of each day, and that is not producing a PID radio every day.
Daily,
so we're going to move to the Sunday once a week format again.
Yeah, which is what we had done for several years previously. Mm-hmm. And that we were, you know, blessed being so close to work here, to be able to, you know, for me to get home.
We just had so many words spilling out of our ears that we had to do this
daily show. But trying to maintain the daily schedule over the next, you know, 6-8 weeks would really be difficult. At that point, we'll reevaluate once we're in and we're settled. And we're mostly unpacked in the new place. And after we've had some time for me to adjust to the new daily schedule, because, you know, where we're located and the territory that I need to cover, I will very likely some days be spending 4 to 5 hours a day inside the car, which, again, if you're in outside sales, you know what that's about. So,
recommendations actually, for more podcasts that Derek can, you know, download to his iTunes.
That's right. So until we get that schedule figured out and really down to a routine, trying to commit to a daily schedule is going to be difficult. And this is why I, you know, a couple of weeks ago said that, you know, giving up the Friday night live commitment for a view from the bunker was probably a smart thing to do as well.
Oh, I think it was. And, so, of course, you've been pre-recording, so you still have
still
something
some podcasts
that goes up.
And do that as time allows. But PID Radio will go to once a week beginning next week.
And those of you, you know, who are just catching it whenever the show's there with your podcatcher, then you'll just catch it when it catches can. But those of you who do are friends of ours on Facebook and you pay attention to the PID Radio page, or you just notice when we post something about it, any changes, we'll let you know. There may be weeks, weekends, whatever, when we simply are gone that weekend and we can't do a thing about it. So anyway.
We'll keep you posted. And
here,
you know,
there, and everywhere.
We get settled into the new place, the new bunker in Illinois. We will.
We eventually have to pack these things up.
That's right. So there will be service disruptions. But don't worry, we have control. No, actually, the Lord has control.
Amen
and that's
to that.
Where it all
Amen to that.
So we'll talk more again tomorrow. We'll talk more about the upcoming the Politics of Religion conference. Just to remind you about that and the speakers who will be there. I think we're going to have to make some arrangements to perhaps.
Actually, we're going to be moving in the day that begins.
That's right, and so odd how things break.
Yep.
You know, things turn out. But we'll talk more tomorrow. We'll keep you posted as things go forward. Until tomorrow, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. We love you. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thanks for listening. PID Radio is a production of the PID Radio Network, a division of Gilbert House. Please visit our website at PIDradio.com, where you'll find show notes and links to connect with us on Twitter and Facebook. We wish to thank all those who help undergird and underwrite our ministry through prayers, feedback, and donations. To contact us directly, email us at radio@peeringintodarkness.com. Opening music adapted from The Alchemist's Tower by Kevin MacLeod, www.incompetech.com. Closing music, New Day Coming by Steve Grace, stevegrace.com. Content, copyright Gilbert House, and is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derives 3.0 Unported License. For more information, see creativecommons.org.
Gonna step up to the microphone, say it loud and clear.